What's going on, Clipper Nation?
Ooh.
It's been a while.
It has. A couple of days.
It feels like a very long time.
It does, dude.
We've missed the heck out of all y'all.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, it's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, and we're coming back at you. I don't know how many days a week. Maybe two, maybe three.
I would say minimum two.
Bare minimum two. And as needed, case-by-case base, as I always say.
Case-by-case base. Tuesdays for sure. Fridays for sure. We're still going to have that live stream for y'all. And maybe a lime stream.
I was going to say, maybe a lime stream, too.
That's us on scooters just falling over.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to start, during the offseason, we're going to be doing these kind of report cards, I guess, for the squad.
Yeah.
Today's going to be the first one of those, and it's going to be on our baby boy, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for that. And then we've got, Charles is just dying to talk to you guys about this Lakers protest.
It's so funny.
That's kind of happening. It's medium
happening.
Oh,
it's over now.
It's over now. but could be happening again tomorrow. Anyways, he's been...
It's absurd.
Following that like a hawk, so he's going to break down that for you guys. And then we're going to do our regular Friday segments, which are the pack, div, power rankings. We're going to be talking more about kind of playoff stuff, as well as the outlook for the Pacific Division next year. And then we're going to be wrapping up with our favorite Friday segment, Love, Marry, Kill. And Charles has a good one lined up for you. So all that and more coming up right about now.
Before we get into Shai's rookie year, I want to give a quick shout out to Tom's Urban. At LA
Tom A's.
Tom A's. Hope all the Lakers protesters went and had some sweet adult beverages during their lunch break and school breaks. We're there usually after every single Clippers game. Maybe go there to watch the draft. Fantastic Buffalo Chicken Pizza. One more time, shout out to Tom's Urban. But right now, we need to get into the first of our offseason recaps. We are recapping, and I guess grading. I put that in at the end. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We all know what the grade is.
Yeah.
Just to spoil for it's an A+.
A plus.
That's an A plus. For Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's rookie year, I had an interesting thing. I asked Clipper Nation on Twitter to describe Shai's rookie season in three words. Got a lot of good ones. Most impactful rookie from our fellow podcasters, Clipcast, which I would tend to agree with given he was on a playoff team.
Yeah, definitely.
Got most impactful rookie. Got streaky slinky man, which was kind of on the fence about that one.
I don't know about that one.
All NBA potential.
Okay.
Which I liked.
No arguments there.
And then I think my favorite one was from Noel Carroll, which was High Expectations Exceeded.
Oh.
I really liked that one.
I would really have to agree with that one.
That goes into this next point. Well, what were your expectations for Shai?
Honestly, just getting time.
Yeah.
Like, just having a solid enough game to work his way into what we had thought coming into the season would be very staunch rotations from Doc.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts how quickly those changed once we saw him actually play. But I agree. I think everyone was just like really worried about Doc not giving the young guys time.
It's not that I didn't think he would be good, but
yeah.
I just thought it would be hard to get time on this team.
Doc guys like Bradley and stuff like that, which, I mean, that did prove to be kind of a pain in the ass in the beginning.
Definitely. I just also think I was under the impression that he was further away developmentally than he is.
Yeah, I think we all kind of slept on, because again, you and I don't watch a lot of college basketball, full disclosure. but yeah, you were pretty high on him before the draft. I remember the day of the draft, he was in your mentions of guys you wanted.
Yeah.
But yeah, he didn't have a bunch of expectations, which I think is one of the things that let him succeed.
Definitely.
He didn't have to come in and like immediately jumpstart this team.
Yeah.
Let's talk about his season debut, and then we'll just talk about offense, defense, and growth, right?
Yeah.
Seems like the best way. So his season debut, which Will and I were fortunate enough to be at, against the Nuggets, we lost that game. Tough,
Yikes.
Frustrating game.
Yeah.
He played 28 minutes, 11 points, 2 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 3 turnovers.
Which is, for a first time out, pretty good.
Against the number 2 seed? What avenged me? His first NBA assist, this was really funny, was to Lou Williams, and it was legit for like a 32-footer.
Yeah, that highlight is pretty crazy. That highlight is nuts.
It's so funny. And then, of course, his first NBA basket was a drive to the hoop, took some contact, and got the finish against Jamal Murray.
He kind of laid a little bit of a... Hit him with a little bit of an elbow.
Yeah.
Going up, which
was,
I like. That's a man's move.
That's a man's move. And he worked on that because for a stretch, it was like he was getting absolutely rejected once a game at the rim.
I would say he had a very natural, I would say almost reassuring rookie wall.
Like, oh,
if he hadn't faced any sort of adversity this season, I'd be a little bit more worried.
Yeah, but about his drive and everything.
Yeah, he went through a stretch where like he was not having great games.
Oh,
where
yeah.
He was getting embarrassingly rejected at least once per game.
And kind of getting a couple tongue lashings from Doc.
Yeah, yeah. But he stayed in the starting lineup, which is as much a testament to Doc as it is to Shea.
Absolutely.
And, I think that he came through the other side that much better for it. Like, I think that, to me, that's the most, reassuring thing going into next season, because he already knows how bad it can be. You know what I mean?
I couldn't agree
so
more.
So I feel like if he has a couple off games or whatever next season, he's not going to be rattled into thinking like, oh man, maybe I'm not the same player.
Yeah.
Whereas like, I don't know, I feel like Jason Tatum never really got the chance to fail a lot last year. Like he exceeded expectations.
And he got gassed up. Absurd comparisons happen all the time, but like there were some pretty lunatic ones.
Yeah, so I think when he took a little stumble this year, everybody was so hard on him that I think that kind of stuff works its way into your head.
Absolutely.
If you haven't had that kind of bottoming out and that kind of like received that sort of harsh criticism, that, you know, I mean, there's probably some truth and some falseness to it, but I think that's important for growth.
Yeah. And it shows maturity.
Yeah.
Tatum has maturity, but Shea really showed that he can bounce back, like you said. So let's talk about his offense. Yeah. In the beginning, tentative.
Very much so, yeah. Anything other than like direct drives to the basket, wide open lane, he really wasn't trying to shoot the ball.
A lot of clips of like him getting the ball with enough space to for sure get a shot off at the 3-point line, and then passing it off or throwing up a hitched, almost hoisty type shot,
or just throwing up.
Or he vomited a lot on the court for a player this year. but yeah, he made huge. I mean, Will and I both watched the highlights from his first game and then game 6 against the Warriors. And like in the first game, the foundation of what he does well is absolutely there.
For sure.
He didn't have to make any drastic changes.
His finishing and stuff, I forgot how good it was when he came into the league. Like it really was pretty solid, and it's just gotten better, which is impressive.
Offhanded finishes, he switches hands really well. You mentioned he kind of got like a better pump fake.
Yeah, he got a pump fake. I mean, and I think a part of that is like instilling in defenses that they have to be worried about him shooting.
That you have
like,
to respect.
I think that you have to respect someone's shot for them to even try to bite on a pump fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're a non-shooter, it's like, all right, dude, you could pump fake it 30 times. Like I'm not going for
We've
this.
All played pickup against the guy who you see never make a shot in warmups, and then he's out on the perimeter, and you just stand in the paint.
Yeah.
That man is Ben Simmons.
now, but I will say, just going along with his finishing, his body control is so much better than it used to be.
It was like, I mean, it was, you could kind of see what he was going for in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
But it was very much a 19-year-old kid.
It was very
figuring
much,
it out.
I mean, and like, obviously there's more control than that. But what it looks like is like, you know, a semi-athletic, not even the most like explosive point guard, I think is safe to say, throwing themselves ragdoll style.
Yeah.
Through the lane, absorbing whatever contact they can, and trying to finish it. And now it's just like the control that he has over everything. It's like it's just night and day to watch.
It's a little more calculated too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, there's a little more like, sure. Oh, I can see what you're going for right there. You mentioned that rookie wall. That rookie wall came in January, and that was tough. He averaged 6-3-2 on 25% shooting from three. He got his minutes cut. It just, I mean, in November and December, he was attacking, and that just disappeared in January, basically.
Yeah.
Like, in January and February, we went 13-14.
Yes.
Which coincided with some rough Shea play.
Yeah, but that was also, like,
that was a tough stretch.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of indicative, too, of, like, the offense. It was pretty clear early that Shea actually running the offense was beneficial.
I agree.
There was a bunch of like that. We get into that weird half court anxious offense type stuff, and I feel like we were deferring to Lou a lot really early in the season. And then Shea looked like he'd figure out. And then March came around, and it was kind of over for the league.
Yeah.
I mean, as a whole. The Clippers went, what did we go, 13-2 in March?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Shea averaged 14-3 on 52% from the field and 59% from three in March.
It's really solid.
I knew it was high. I didn't know it was 59%.
59 is...
That's absurd.
I mean, that's pretty respectable.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. I respect that. And I think this month, if you kind of weren't in fully committed to Shea already, this was like the, oh, dang. Like, for me, Shea was good, but this was the month where it was like, oh, this might be like, he can be a true problem in this league.
Yeah.
If he can stay this locked in.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that the potential has been there, like, really pretty much all season. But I'll agree with you. I mean, I think watching him go six games against, like, the best hoopers, if you will.
Real hoopers, true hoopers, best hoopers.
In the league.
Hooper super.
I mean, I just think that established just how much he's grown and how ready he is to, yeah, be like a future all-star, perennial all-star in this league.
Absolutely. In game four against the Warriors. So in the playoffs, he had three great games and three bad ones, which honestly, a 50-50 split against, like you said, like the best team of all time. I don't know what else more you want from a rookie.
Yeah, no, for sure.
In game four, he had 25 points and was just picking out guys to go at.
Oh, yeah.
It was incredible to watch. What do you think he needs to work on offensively?
So to work on offensively, I just think the biggest thing is going to be the vision.
Mm-hmm.
And he does already have pretty solid vision, but like he needs to get other guys going. And
yes.
I know that can be hard to do. I'm sure it's especially hard to gauge when you're a young guy, especially if you're shooting good early, when to distribute and when you should be taking your own shots.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's only going to come with more playing time.
For sure.
But it's one of those things where you would like to see him initiating the offense more in ways like even when the ball is out of his hand.
Yeah. Make some cuts, some motions and stuff like that. I had distribution. It's the same thing.
Yeah. But yeah, the assist numbers, I mean, we've just talked about this all season. Like, I want to see those assist numbers double what they were this year.
It's funny because during his rookie wall, he averaged more assists in that
Yeah,
month.
I mean, because he was tentative with the ball. So yeah. Now it's just like, it's marrying those two things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking for open shooters and then, you know, then just having the confidence to not be indecisive, but like to make the best decision in a split second.
Yeah. And then moving on to defense, the dude is a ball hawk.
He's been really, really good. I knew that he was going to be like a solid defender, like he had the tools coming out of college, but I take any college defender with a kind of a grain of salt.
Absolutely.
And especially if you play for a program like Kentucky, I'm sorry, I'm never going to believe that you're going to come into the NBA yeah. and be like a great
defensive
defender.
Yeah, exactly. He averaged 1.2 steals per game, and then for the season, he had a 31% steal percentage, which is the percentage of a team's steals that a player has while he's on the court.
Okay.
So when he's on the court, he gets a third of our team's steals.
Wow.
Which, that's fantastic. He had 110 defensive rating for the season.
Which is decent.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like, the hottest, it's not the worst.
I think average, I want to say...
For a team, the average is 110.
I was going to say, I feel like 110 is right around average.
The 76ers were 15th in the league, and they were 110 as a team. So, I mean, if he's playing average defensive rating, obviously we know defensive rating, full disclosure, doesn't paint the whole picture, but it's pretty nice for a rookie to be at 110.
Yes.
With 1.2 steals.
I mean, like, for a frame of reference, defensive player of the year, I mean, maybe not, but should be probably defensive player of the year. Rudy Gobert's defensive rating is like 103.
Yeah, exactly. Angel Delgado's 68. Best in the league by quite a margin. So he had to take on Harden in his third game for the Clippers, which I can't imagine. He guarded him for 22% of their possessions and held him to 2 of 6 shooting.
Uh-huh.
Do we see, is he kind of a low-key all-defensive team, second-team candidate in a couple years?
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I think sooner than a couple years. That's my only hesitation.
Okay.
I think that if he continues this type of play up, I just think the Clippers will have more eyes on them next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think stuff like that becomes a little bit more attainable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that that's too far off. yeah, seeing him make one of those all defensive teams.
Yeah. He got love from KD this year, Damian Lillard. I like this note you have in here about the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know this.
Yeah, so his numbers rose in the playoffs.
That's crazy.
I mean, like, his rebounds and assists stayed pretty close to normal, but his scoring-wise, he ended up averaging 14-3-3, mm-hmm. adding a steal and a block per game.
Jesus.
While averaging only a single turnover also per game.
And that's huge, because you've mentioned it before, and I agree with it, that we want to see his assists be higher than his turnover, which was kind of tough this year.
Yeah. No, I feel like that's pretty straightforward. but yeah, assist to turnover ratio is just one of those stats that I think is...
so important.
So important. So interesting, because... here's the thing. Any great point guard is going to have turnovers. It's just by virtue of handling the ball for
usage,
so many possessions.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. But the fact that his efficiency got so much better in the playoffs against what... I mean, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I would argue to my true hoopers out there. I mean, what? Top five, if not top three defense in the league in the Warriors.
Oh, and that 100%. Yeah. If you don't think that, I don't know what you're watching if you don't think that.
Yeah. So to go against that and like be more efficient. I think that is just like the perfect seal on what was already a very great season to me.
And that's exactly why we wanted to play the Warriors. To see what our young guys could do. And he did everything he needed to.
Totally. Yeah, and I, you know, there was, like, a lot of talk about wanting to face whoever and whatever.
Anyone but the Warriors.
Yeah, like, hoping to move further. And I honestly think that this was best-case scenario.
Agreed.
This wasn't going to be a deep playoff run year, and I didn't
Yeah,
really...
that was my thing, too. I was like, so we make it out of the first round. We maybe make it out of the second round, and then probably get toasted in the Western Conference Finals.
I think making it, I mean, if the bracket rolled out similar to the way it did, I mean, we'd still be playing a very hard team in the second round. So I don't know. This was definitely going to be more of an experience year, part of the retool, probably the final year of the retool.
Yeah, let's hope so.
So I think that playing the best team and taking them to six games is best possible scenario.
What was your breakout game for him?
Breakout game for me, I'm going to go his... game that was his career high in assists.
Can't be mad at that.
And that was mid-March, Nets at LAC. The storyline that'll dominate this game was that insane Lou Will buzzer beater.
Yeah.
In this game, Shea had 14, 2, and 10. He had the highest plus-minus of any starter. He was plus 18. And,
damn.
You know, this was just the... this was just like the signal to me that he was seeing the game at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Narrative-wise, I love this matchup because it's like a guard in D'Lo that people kind of thought was done.
For sure.
People had kind of given up on, which is insane because he's only a fourth-year rookie.
Yeah.
He's
23, you ain't got it.
Yeah. against Shea, you know, who is I see them as having somewhat similar types of play in that like they kind of use tempo and like their long bodies is like that's the tools that they have. Yeah. So I don't know. It just showed how much better he was at reading the floor. And maybe you could argue, you know, that the Nets don't have the staunchest defense, but still
gotta do it.
Yeah. I mean, 10 assists is 10 assists, and that's what I'm hoping he's going to have.
Yeah. Mine was actually really early in the season. November 10th against the Bucks.
That was such a great game. That
game was incredible. 40 minutes, 16, 6, 4, 1 steal, 3 blocks, and a 128-126 win. That was a game that made me realize that he could be kind of a near triple-double guy on average. I don't think it's crazy to think averaging 16, 6, and 4 is absurd next year.
Yeah.
And it just shows that he can impact the game in pretty much every single way.
Yeah.
And we've already set our season grade, but it's an A+.
Yeah,
right.
For sure.
If anyone else thinks it's anything lower, please let us know at Locked On Clips.
Yeah, I don't know what else
you
he could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More dunks? Coming up after this, we're going to be talking about the Pacific Division. But first, I want to give one more quick shout-out to Tom's Urban. I'm sure they helped those parched Lakers protesters. Shout-out to Harrison, the manager over there. He's a very nice man. One more time, that's Tom's Urban. 70 TVs, football season, the draft already happened. Get ready to watch some L.A. Rams over there. You can watch my wonderful Dolphins take charge of the AFC East finally. Will's laughing at that. He doesn't even watch football. He knows the Dolphins are bad. One more time, that is Tom's Urban at L.A. Live.
All right, guys. So let's talk a little pack divvies.
Pack divvies.
We do it every Friday, so we got to keep doing it. So there's only one team left from the Pacific Division in the playoffs. You might have heard of them.
Might have heard of them. The Boriers.
Things for them are a little bit up in the air right now.
Dicey. They're somehow like happy KD is hurt. There's like that weird Steph quote about when KD went down, we all looked at each other in the huddle and we smiled because we knew this is what meant. We had to step it up. Very weird quote.
Very bizarre. Durant is leaving, right?
Dude, he's got to be gone. If your teammate's response to you getting hurt is, we all looked at each other and we were happy that we had to step it up, they don't like you, bro.
Yeah. Man, that's so rough. I missed that one.
They don't like... Anyway, sorry, go on.
Anyway, he's going to be out the rest of the Rocket series for sure with that calf strain. I guess what's the outcome for us if game five, or, I mean, hell, I'll open it up to at any point, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant suffers a calf strain in the first round?
I think for us, if it happened after the 31-point comeback, I think it blows the doors open to us winning that series. It doesn't make us guaranteed at all, but I think it goes seven if it happens after that comeback.
Yeah, I think it goes seven for sure.
Yeah. We definitely have a better chance to win, obviously.
Easily we do have a better chance to win. I still don't know if that's enough to put us completely over the hump. And that's nothing on us. It's just
it's the damn Warriors.
It's still a Warriors team that knows each other really well.
And that's
there's a lot of consistency there.
And that's where like KD going down would freak me out too, because then it's like the three amigos get back to being like, oh, this is what we made.
Yeah.
And we can show everyone what we did before this guy got here.
Yeah.
And having one of the best, the best playoff scoring runs in history. I don't know what happens. I saw some tweet today about someone who talked to some source of his at the Warriors or whatever, that apparently if like it's going poorly tonight, they're just gonna punt it and hope to rest up for game seven. I don't think that's true at all, though.
I don't think that's true either.
Why would you want
what would that even look like? Do they even have people on their bench?
I guess they would just play Looney and
McKinney and
Boogie still?
Boogie in a wheelchair?
Yeah, Boogie in a chair. He was getting some shots up the other day. Man, I was watching highlights of that Warriors-Clippers playoff. That was that was a fantastic playoff series.
It was a good time.
I feel like we have to apologize to the rest of the NBA for waking up the Warriors that early.
Yeah.
That sucks. And you're pretty high on the Pacific Division.
This is what I guess we want to talk about. Pack divvies as well. Is the Pacific Division the best division in the NBA?
I think moving forward, it might be. I was looking at, so the Atlantic, I think, might be the closest, but there's still some big dominoes to fall there.
Okay.
With teams. So the Raptors were number one in the Atlantic. Obviously, they could lose Kawhi.
Yeah.
They had 58 wins. 76ers had 51. Celtics had 49. And then the Nets are in there. And then the Knicks really kind of drag them down.
Yes.
But that's a pretty tough top four teams.
Yeah, that's a damn good division.
But again, Kawhi might leave the Raptors
Sixers, who knows what's going to shake out with those
guys. Yeah, and Celtics, disarray is how I would describe them right now.
Yeah.
So they're pretty shaky. The Northwest, they had...
Somehow the Nets are the soundest out of all of those teams.
Right? Yeah, that is a trip. Looking at that list, you're like, huh. And then the Northwest is interesting. Nuggets, 54 wins. Blazers, 53 wins. Jazz, 50 wins. Thunder, 49. And then the Wolves.
Oh, wow. So that's definitely the strongest conference in the NBA.
So that's pretty... I would give it to them because the Nuggets are bringing everyone back next year.
Yeah.
The Blazers, I think?
Yeah. They don't really... Unless they trade one of their big two, they don't really have a move to acquire anybody.
And then I assume the Thunder regress.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Paul George, legitimately was playing with a torn rotator cuff.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be terrible. But I think in the next like 5 years, the Pac Div is the strongest.
The reason I put this in there was just because of like how much upside. I mean, and you could say that truly about a lot of these, about most divisions.
Yeah. But ours,
it just seems like it's a little closer maybe than some of them.
Yes. With the year we had, and with, let's say the scenario is we run everyone back but bring a max guy in.
Yeah.
We look very hard to beat. The Lakers still have LeBron. They still have room for two max spots. No, they don't have a coach. No, they don't have an analytics guy or a shooting coach. But the window's there at least.
Yeah.
The Kings are always going to be a problem for the next 5 years.
Yeah, just given their talent.
Yeah.
I mean.
And then, you know, of course, the Suns.
The Suns, all right. They're going to get it right one of these days.
Dude, they might. If the Suns get Zion, they're just going to be annoying to play next year.
No, they're not going to get Zion. They're going to take Ja.
All right, if they get, that'd be tight.
I think that, I mean, like, that's their goal. That's
their plan.
Dude,
that would be a fun-ass team to watch. If only it wasn't the Suns.
I want good things for the Suns.
Yeah, so we're a bit of a Suns apologists here.
Yeah.
They deserve
some nice things.
And then, of course, there's the Warriors, who no matter what happens, unless they lose everyone but Steph or Draymond.
If they lose everyone but Steph, they're still in an alright position.
Yeah, they're still, like, fine. But yeah, I think in the next 3 years, this is going to be the toughest one. Here's a question. Will it make division titles matter?
No.
No. Yeah. I think we were talking about this the other day about how like baseball, it's like such a big deal. And the NBA, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you who clinched the division like the last 5 years.
I would just assume it's the Warriors.
I mean,
and it's like,
yeah, that
great.
One's pretty easy.
Yeah,
yeah,
but like any other division, I'm like, I don't know. The Bucks? Like... It's going to be a good time. Maybe next week we should rank the divisions.
Oh, all divisions?
Yeah, all the divisions.
I'd be into that.
Power rank that? Well, let's do that. Coming up after this, we're going to be playing everyone's favorite Friday game, Love, Marry, Kill, and a little bit of a recap of the peaceful peasant protest.
All right, Charles, so you got to let us know about this protest. You've been following.
So this Lakers intently. Protest, I think, should be, there need to be essays written on this about, I think it was a joke in the beginning.
A joke by whom?
Someone on the Lakers subreddit or something.
A player?
Yes, I think it was JaVale McGee. No, I think it started as maybe a joke on the Lakers subreddit or something. And then even if it wasn't a joke, for all intents and purposes, it blew up.
Yeah.
Like Jalen Rose said he was going to be there. It was on a bunch of news.
He wasn't there, though.
He was not there. He straight up lied to those people. People were mad. People are mostly mad about Jeannie Buss. Owning the team. It's just a bunch
What's
of
weird to me
yeah.
is that this protest had no goal. Like there were no
there
demands.
There was no goal. The demands were to be heard, I believe, were the only demands. There was a fantastic tweet. There was like three teens from Calabasas who were there who got most of the camera time, which that's not the look you want, I don't think, if you're the Lakers fan base. Also holding it at noon on a Friday. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, who's
going to be there?
People on their lunch break and Redditors are going to be there. There might be one tomorrow. I don't know why. Garcetti also said that this is a Clippers town now.
Yeah.
Which I think fueled part of their hate. Clipper Daryl showed up and was kicking shit up.
Really?
Yeah. Say what you will about Clipper Daryl. He was there, and he was yelling about how it was a Clippers town, and everyone, of course, was yelling, "You've never won a championship." I mean, it was some good banter, I would say.
Yeah.
One of the Calabasas teens said that my dad's dad had Magic, my dad had Kobe, my older brother had Kobe, and all I have is LeBron. What has he given me so far?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. So today for Love, Marry, Kill, we're going to be doing signs at the Lakers protest.
All right.
There were some interesting ones.
What do we got on the board?
We have one that had crying LeBron with Genie plus Rob equals over it.
Okay.
This Classic. Is an interesting one. A mugshot of Jason Kidd with "You want this guy" written above it, held by someone wearing a Kobe jersey.
Ooh.
From, of course, Jason Kidd's domestic violence arrest. Another one, steps to fix the Lakers. This one you're going to have to listen on. Step one, sign LiAngelo.
Okay.
Step two, draft LaMelo. Step three, hire LeVar.
Oh, my God.
And then the last one, which I think is the most sincere and yet the most pitiful, give Ty a try. So, also to my last point, the steps to fix the Lakers sign makes me think that people thought this was going to be a joke.
Yeah.
It's just a full-on, you're getting trolled by your own fans at this point.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
That one's my love, and it's for that reason.
Exactly. Like, mine, too. It's this snowball of irony and also being really upset.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. No, it's bizarre how
It's all over the place.
It's so all over the place. It's serious and not serious.
I mean, they did give LiAngelo a tryout, so they're not far off.
It's like, is this protest even real? Is the other thing that I'm
That's
wondering.
What I'm saying. Like, we thought Michael Thompson was maybe trolling us by being so nice about the Clippers, but now Lakers fans are trolling themselves.
Yeah.
Those kids drove from Calabasas.
Yeah, it's weird, man.
Also, where's the truancy officer for Calabasas High? I'm calling him up right now. Which one of these signs are you marrying? We're both loving the same one, obviously.
Yeah,
which one are you marrying?
I'm marrying Give Ty a Try.
Me too.
It's simple.
It's so sincere.
It is.
Like, it's someone who has a clear goal of like...
And that person, like, that person was excited to go to that rally. They were like, we're going to make a difference.
We're going
to
give Ty a try.
For this team that we love, and we're going to give Ty a try.
Yeah. Also, shout out Ty Lue at this point. They did him dirty with that contract.
Yeah.
5 years is like the norm. Give the man 5 years. Which one of these are you killing?
Ooh.
I think we might have the same one on this one, too.
I guess I was going to kill Jason Kidd.
I was going to kill that one because, A, come on, man.
So you're saying the past is the past? Is that your stance?
No, I'm not saying the past.
I'm just joking.
Yeah, I'm saying, look, he did his... No. It's just... You're wearing a Kobe jersey, bro.
Yeah. It goes both ways.
It has to go both ways.
For sure.
And, like, you cannot want Jason Kidd. That's totally fine. I wouldn't want Jason Kidd to coach my team.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't bring up his domestic violence history.
Yeah.
Especially for a guy who, like, have they interviewed him yet?
Who?
Jason Kidd.
Oh. They must have. He's been in He's been in conjunction with every single coach.
There hasn't even been any offers or anything. It's just crazy. There was a bunch of like no more Kurt Rambis chants and stuff. It really did feel like the sincere people were just overtaken by the lunatics.
Yeah. It was, I mean, from what you, all of my knowledge of this has just been Charles speaking over our cubicle to me about what's happening. It seems pretty nuts. It seems like...
Disarray.
It seems like disarray. It very much feels like a joke gone wrong.
Yeah, and there might be a follow-up tomorrow.
We can only hope.
I don't know what these people... Like, people got their shifts covered to go to this thing.
Oh, definitely.
Imagine taking... I saw a guy... I never go on this subreddit, but I was on the Clippers subreddit, or the Lakers subreddit today, just to see what the vibe was. There was a guy who said he used paid time off and bought a $500 ticket to come to this.
What a disappointment.
What a disappointment. Both of those people. That guy's a disappointment. I guess that about wraps it up for the Friday edition of Locked On Clippers. Thanks for hanging out.
Oh, yeah.
We will talk to you guys Tuesday.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
Unless violence erupts at this Saturday protest. Yeah, we'll be talking to you guys on Tuesday. Hope everyone has a fantastic weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks for listening.